Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 12th of October. Monday at 9 is All Things Political, and I'm just delighted we have Clarence Page with us in just a moment. He'll talk about a number of topics, including the Nobel Peace Prize, President Obama receiving that, and he says that he could begin an era of peace by bringing peace to American streets, including those in his hometown. He talks about how Mary Travers converted him to feminism, and we'll look at a number of different issues with Clarence, who's just a great guy. First, though, I need to tell you that I'm Kathleen Dunn. Did I say that? I'll say it again. Here I am. And this is our WPR Fall Membership Drive. Listeners, as you know, are Wisconsin Public Radio's most important source of income. And if you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, it keeps programs like All Things Political on the air. It's a regular great feature, I think. It only takes a few minutes of your time. So invest in All Things Political by donating now. Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Rob Schroeder is with me now, who's producing many of the programs that you hear between 9 and 11. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, Kathleen. We have a goal of 25 pledges this hour, and these hourly goals are so important to us because they help us stay on track with the funds that we need to keep discussions like the one you're just about to hear going on Wisconsin Public Radio. So 25 pledges in the next 52 minutes or so. Take a moment right now, give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And in just a moment, we'll be talking to Clarence Page. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's the op-ed columnist for Tribune Media Services, and he's all over television as well. We'll look at the week's top headlines. Discussions like this one, this is a special Monday program, a regular program we've been having on the air we started years ago. Discussions like this on the Ideas Network are possible, of course, because of your financial support. Please give now to this particular hour. I'd be much heartened to have you give to this hour, you political junkies. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving is very simple, whether you give online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. We need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you want to pay. Use a credit card if you can. It'll help us save time and money. And don't worry, we will never share your personal information with any other organizations. Many people find that $10 a month is a good amount. That's $120 for the year. But you decide whatever is right for you. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I know that many of you who are listening now to the Ideas Network heard something that really stopped you in your tracks, something that you found was really interesting, and this has happened to me. You couldn't go to where you had to go until you heard what needed to be said. We strive every day for programs that really open your eyes and engage your brain, programs that affect your life. And this kind of radio happens only with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For a pledge of $120 or more, you'll receive the WPR member card. That's a card that gives you two-for-one discounts at over 250 restaurants, breakfast and beds, cultural attractions, 22 golf courses around Wisconsin. The member card is a year-long reminder of how grateful we are for your support today. We couldn't produce great radio without your donation, so we're happy to send you the member card as our way of saying thank you. So give now $120 or more, and you'll receive the member card. Pledge securely online, WPR.org, or by calling 888-202-2552.
The goal is 25 pledges, Rob, and we have 24 now pledges needed. So we've had a pledge.
thank you very much
for that pledge. And we invite you, please, to give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Clarence Page is going to be with us in just one moment. I've been wanting to speak with him on all things political for a long time. He's very insightful. He's a Chicago Tribune columnist, and he's on television, and he's friendly and agreed to the show, and it's good. It's all good. So please call the pledge for all things political. And what's the number again?
The number is 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, everybody, for pledging. And we are going to meet Clarence Page now. I'm so happy to have him on the air with us today for all things political. He's a 1989 Pulitzer Prize winner for commentary, a columnist syndicated nationally by Tribune Media Services, and a member of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board. He's also a regular contributor of essays to the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. He's been a regular on the McLaughlin Group. He's on MSNBC frequently on Chris Matthews' show, and he is on ABC's Nightline. He is on Black Entertainment's lead story news panel program, and he is with us now. He's been a reporter, producer, and community affairs director at WBBM-TV from 1980 to 84. He was born in Dayton, Ohio, grew up in Middletown, began his journalism career as a freelance writer and photographer for the Middletown Journal and Cincinnati Inquirer at the age of 17. Graduate of Ohio University, and has received honorary degrees from Columbia College in Chicago, Lake Forest College, the Chicago Theological Seminary, and the John Marshall School of Law, among others. He lives in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and we're so happy to have him with us. We're going to start with conversation about the president, of course, receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, which has become the subject of much conversation. I want to start with just a brief clip from President Obama when he delivered this message in Cairo a few months ago.
So long as our relationship is defined by our differences, we will empower those who sow hatred rather than peace, those who promote conflict rather than the cooperation that can help all of our people achieve justice and prosperity. And this cycle of suspicion and discord must end. I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles, principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings.
President Obama, in his extraordinary speech, he's given so many of them in Cairo, Egypt. Clarence Page is with us now. We'll start with this story and move to many others. Hello, Clarence.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, our great pleasure. I just love watching you on television and reading you. You're the best.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere. Thank
I know,
you very much.
But it's true. I'm so happy to have you with us. See, I think it's speeches like that, and maybe the promise of that, speaking to the Muslim world for the first time, making the world open to us again, that got him the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, yes, it is, and that's not that unusual when you think back on it. I was reading some research on the Nobel Prize, and you could say about two-thirds of the Peace Prizes have been given out to people whose work for peace was in progress, as is the case with Obama. What was so striking for Americans was that we see him as just beginning the first part of the first lap of his presidency, and somebody's handing him the trophy already. But if you look at the history of the Nobel Prize, this is not that unusual to be giving out a prize to someone who has already changed the tone of a particular debate.
Mm-hmm. That must have been it, don't you think, Clarence, that the rest of the world was so worried about what direction we had taken for the previous 8 years that they just were saying thank you?
Yes. In other words, thank you for not being George Bush. That's the way many people look at it, because his tone and approach are so drastically different. And during the campaign, pushed for he committed himself to talks without preconditions to Iran and North Korea, and was beat up for it by Democrats and Republicans alike, and he still won. That was quite a political achievement. Of course, once you become president, and he's got that landmark now, first African-American president, he now becomes just another president, as he tackles all the problems in the world, quite literally, There was some talk about how, well, they give him the Nobel Prize already. What do you do if he actually achieves peace in the Middle East, for example? You know,
give him another one.
There's not much left to go to.
Right. You wrote yesterday that you congratulated him. You say that I hope he can now do something to earn it. He could begin by bringing peace to American streets, including those in his hometown. What was interesting to me was a juxtaposition between when we were looking at the Olympic bids. They were looking at the Olympic, and then it would be followed by a story about the horrible beating of Darian Albert by a mob of teens on Chicago's South Side. And then the president dispatched some people from the cabinet to look at that. I mean, certainly this is an issue that has been ignored for a long time. Would you address it, Clarence?
Well, you know, even before the Nobel Prize came along, I did an earlier column about how you've got a program right there in Milwaukee that's also in four or five other cities called violence-free zones that have worked with high school youths to effectively reduce teen violence by setting up early warning systems where youth counselors build a day-to-day respect and comfort level with students, who in turn keep them informed as to tension, hot spots, potential fights or shootings or muggings that may be about to happen, so that they can be averted. And this type of program has reduced violence considerably because it's a new approach, one you don't hear that much about. And there are approaches like this around the country that are going on that Chicago, sadly, has been a little behind on, turning to more conventional youth counseling and mentoring. Mentoring is a good idea, and now that this one 15-year-old boy was killed by other kids on camera with a cell phone camera, which is what spurred Barack Obama to send his cabinet officers to Chicago. Now that's happened, Chicago public and private resources are working to beef up mentoring programs for young people. But there's more that can be done. That's why I think at the presidential level, presidents don't run schools. They're run locally and at state level. But presidents can help to inform and network across the country to show what is working in, say, Milwaukee, so that a city like Chicago can borrow from those ideas.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, Clarence, a few months after Obama was elected, I heard this on the radio coming to work one day, and it stayed with me. And it was a police officer in the city of Milwaukee who was talking about how the homicide rates among African Americans in this city had been down. And he said, you cannot underestimate the power of the election of the first African American president. And I said, my, that's a pretty striking thing to say. I wonder what that means in terms of emulation, in terms of reaching the highest pinnacle, in terms of being able to lessen violence simply because of, and I don't want to make too much of it, but it's a fairly historic thing that's happened in the country.
Well, it's called the Obama effect, and we have a lot of anecdotes around the country of young black kids in particular, when I say young, I mean, you know, middle school, high school, college level, who right after Obama's election, you could see measurable improvements in test scores, attendance level, behavior levels. We just have a lot of anecdotes around the country like this, and nobody's put together a scientific study of it, whether there is an Obama effect or not. It's a lovely thought, though, isn't it?
It is a lovely thought. I kept wondering, and it's not just African-American students, it's all high school students now. It drives me nuts who let their underwear show, that we would know if people pulled their pants up.
Yeah, you know, this is role modeling means a lot with young people. Mm-hmm. I got a 20-year-old son myself, who, like all the rest, he frustrates his parents by behaving like we did when we were his age.
Probably better.
Try and do whatever we can to outrage our parents. You know, I had my afro, and he's got his dreadlocks. You know, and I will say Obama's first miracle was to get my son off the couch, and he went and volunteered with the campaign and worked out out in New Mexico.
Oh, my.
And it psyched him up. And before, he wasn't sure what he wanted to do as far as going to college. And he got out there and got excited and working with these other college kids and all. And he went and enrolled himself in college.
Oh, my gosh,
Clarence.
Well,
he turned us for the money. But, I mean, he didn't even enroll himself in Little League, you know, but he enrolled himself in college. You know, so I saw an Obama effect with my kid. We're just trying to help it to last now,
right.
You know.
Right. Oh, I'm in the same situation. We're about to send the youngest to college, and it's one of the most difficult things we do in life is raise kids, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no bigger. You know, my son was born this same month that I got the Pulitzer Prize. I never thought the Pulitzer would be anticlimactic. And God gave us children in order to make sure we have challenges in life.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about comedy. You've written about Saturday Night Live and how comics are now beginning to portray Obama. It still hasn't quite clicked for me, but are they on to something that this guy is, you know, all talk and we haven't seen much action, and that's resonating, particularly with people on the left who are concerned he's not moving fast enough?
Yeah, I think that's what clicked with comedians, that the people on the left who are impatient are starting to come out from behind rocks and trees. And, you know, before everybody stood in solidarity because Obama was getting beat up so much by the right. But now, at this point, when it's almost a year since he was elected, they're starting to see more, well, particularly like this past weekend, the Human Rights Campaign's dinner where Obama was featured speaker, and the demonstrations for gay rights and gay marriage rights reminded everybody of how when Obama campaigned, he said he was going to be, as I recall, a fierce advocate for doing away with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the ban on gays and lesbians in the military. And he, once he got elected, he has not been that fierce, and has pointed out that there are these larger priorities, like the economy, the two wars overseas, and health care. Priorities that affect all of us, help gays, lesbians, and the rest of us as well. And which is the same thing he's told African Americans and poverty fighters, that, you know, improving the economy is going to help everybody, so let's get behind that right now, and we will get to the other issues. And so, you know, now people are starting to get a little impatient about that, about closing Guantanamo, about getting out of Iraq, about making a decision on Afghanistan. So now comedians are finding some wiggle room now to point out the ironies of all this and do it safely. So this is what's intriguing to me, that, like when I wrote about Saturday Night Live, and Fred Armisen, who does the best Obama imitation of any major comedian right now, he lampooned the very idea that Obama hasn't done anything. I think that was safe for him, because his audience, being heavily Obama supporters, it was interesting that they laughed. That was important. I mean, Bill Maher, whose audience is heavily pro-Obama, has consistently had a hard time with Obama jokes. He would go and make one, and the audience just be dead silent. You could hear the crickets. And he's made fun of how the audience is. He said something like, hey, he's your president. He's not your date, you know, or whatever. And now, you know, people, I would say he's come down, obviously, in the polls, too, from the superhuman level,
sure,
to the merely human.
Merely human.
Which is what latest Gallup, I think it is, shows him at 52%, which is the same percent of the vote that he won by.
Clarence Page, our guest for All Things Political today, op-ed columnist for Tribune Media Services, Chicago Tribune editorial board member, and frequent guest on Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews, MSNBC, public television as well, and just one of the best analysts, political analysts around, I think. We're going to welcome phone calls for him as we look at all of what's in the news and what he has written about. Our number is 800-486-8255. 8655 for you to join us on air. And if you, and I'm sure you're thinking about it, if you haven't done so already, would like to pledge, we have a goal of 25 pledges this hour, and we've already had five. 888-202-2552 is our pledge number, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. To your calls in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Clarence Page, our guest for all things political, our number 800-486-8655, and Jeff from Superior. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
What a privilege to be talking to Mr. Page. A few years ago, I was a bread man in Hyde Park, and I had the opportunity to meet Barack Obama when he was a state senator. He was walking home. He got off the Metro line and bought a Coca-Cola at a store where it was delivering bread. And I was wondering, he and I talked about the future of the black community and if he saw himself as a leader nationally or certainly in the state of Illinois. And I was wondering if you had an opportunity to interview Barack Obama, what you would ask him, or if you already interviewed him, what you talked about.
I was wondering, since you met him, then if he preferred white bread or whole wheat.
It's got to be whole wheat, doesn't it?
I would think
it?
So, especially in Hyde Park. But I've interviewed him, and my son interviewed him back in high school when he was still about a week before he announced he was going to run for the Senate. And my son talked to him about Guantanamo.
Really? Oh,
which surprised him, you know. I think he was expecting something else, but they had a really good chat, my son's still waiting for him to close Guantanamo, and so I suppose he would ask him about that again now. There are so many things to ask him about, but I think as far as I am concerned, I'm as with my column last week. I think this everything involving education and our young people is what I'm really concerned about, and I don't want to see that fall between the cracks.
Mm-hmm. So, we never found out if it was white bread or wheat bread. Did you find him to be? I know that you wrote Air Force One or Two or whatever it was.
Air Force One. There's only one. Whatever plane or aircraft the president
is
in, immediately becomes Air Force One.
I gotcha. You rode back with him from Washington with some other reporters. Can you tell us a little more about that meeting? Was it a wide range of conversation, and if you found him to be quite forthcoming and as charming off the cuff as he appears to be?
That was the same night that the House passed the their version of the financial bailout package, and it was his first trip back to Chicago as president. And so he flew back on Air Force One, and I got a call the day before asking me if I'd like to fly to Chicago with the president on Air Force One. And I said, what time and where?
Yeah, I'll bet you did. I'd be the same.
I was astonished, but me and about four or five other pundits, Bob Herbert from the New York Times and E.J. Dionne from the Washington Post and Kathleen
Parker.
Thank you, Kathleen Parker, a fellow syndicated columnist, and Ron Brownstein, who was now with National Journal. First of all, I don't want to get off too much on Air Force One, but you know, did you ever see the movie with Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, they really duplicated the interior really well, including the color of the furnishings. It's this lovely kind of a mahogany wood, and the cleanest, sparklingest restrooms I've ever seen on a plane. And
thank you,
the absolute smoothest takeoff. And I mean, this buttery, soft, plush leather seats don't look like airplane seats. They're like your living room seats, only they got seat belts in them, you know. And the takeoff and landing are so smooth you can't even feel it, you know. But probably the biggest thrill was flying into O'Hare during Friday evening rush hour and getting right in, no delays.
Great.
I don't know how many planes were held back in order for us to come in, but we didn't want to leave the darn thing. He and his wife, both the girls and grandma, were all on board, and we chatted with them briefly at the beginning, and then they went to the private quarters up front, and we went with the president for close to an hour talking with him about health care and financial packages and looking at what remedies were available compared to what Japan and Scandinavia had done. A wide-ranging discussion, but the kind of thing that one thing about him, he enjoys talking to the press and other people who've got ideas where he can stretch his own mind a bit, and even if he isn't changing his mind, he's working on how can he persuade others and deliver his own message to other people more effectively. And so I was just very, I took pictures, you may have seen them,
I saw them, yeah,
at my blog site, and for me, it was quite a heady experience. I say, you know, for a guy of my age to have lived long enough to not just have a black president, but to fly on Air Force One with him, I guess the Lord can come take me to glory now.
Oh.
I've done about all of it.
Oh, don't go yet, Clarence. You have a lot more to say, but
well,
I'll
I
bet you felt that way.
I haven't gotten the Nobel Prize yet, so
darn.
Let's try that one.
Clarence Page is our guest this hour, and for all things political, we're happy to have him with us to talk all kinds of politics. Op-ed columnist for Tribune Media Services, Chicago Tribune editorial board member, and political pundit, one of the best, I think, on MSNBC and also on public television and other places. Our number for you to participate on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we have lines open for you right now. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive as well. As you listen to this program regularly, you know you're always going to hear something worthwhile. Today, I'm just tickled we can bring you Clarence Page, and we're asking you really to put a value on the program. We are up to, oh, great. We had a goal of 25 pledges, and we need 18 more to reach our goal. And all you can do to help us get there is to give online at WPR or call toll free at 888-202-2552. Rob Schroeder, producer, is with me now in our Milwaukee studios. Hello again, Rob.
Hello, Kathleen. And again, listeners can give online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. Please help pay for the programs that you depend on. We have a goal of 25 pledges, and we have about 25 minutes left to go in this hour. Thank you so much if you've already given at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of your pledge, and when you give $120, ask for the Wisconsin Public Radio stainless steel water bottle. Please pledge now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You may have found yourself, just like fireside chats, hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion. You might need to get somewhere, but that discussion is so interesting that you might show up a little late. You appreciate the guest's knowledge, just like Clarence Page today, and also the callers' questions and views. I tell you this again, all of the guests say what a terrific audience you are, and it's true. And we would appreciate that one caller calling back to find out if Obama got the wheat bread or the white bread, so Clarence can put that into a column sometime. Well, if you've been in that situation where you've been hanging by the radio and not wanting to leave it, then it's time to pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you like WPR because of the good it brings to the community. For you, having WPR available is personally important, but it's also important to you that everyone in this state has access to in-depth news, thoughtful discussions, and great music. So become a member with a contribution of any amount, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're really doing something good for this entire community. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you a little bit later. That number again, 888-202-2552. And we have Clarence Page with us. Our number is 800-486-8655. Let's go to Beth from Denmark, Wisconsin next. Hi, Beth.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is a great conversation. There are two things that I kind of think about. One is with Obama living in the Midwest for quite a bit of time, do you think he gets a better sense of, like, what Middle America, the pace of Middle America, what kind of our work ethic, you know, kind of a little bit more conservative, not necessarily in politics, but just conservative in everyday life versus, the coasts are a little different. Do you think he gets that sense and brings it to his
his job. Yeah, Clarence.
Yeah, I think he does. I think what marks his career is constantly working the middle ground, trying to bring people together. You could really see that in the Illinois legislature, which is a fractious body, as you may have heard, much like Chicago politics. But the difference is that you've got a political diversity there. Obama could get between the city and suburban senators, the black and white, the Republican and Democrat, and work to build bridges and try to bring folks together around various issues. You know, people, some Democrats wouldn't talk to certain Republicans. Obama would. And that was one thing he was really known for, both on the job and afterwards in the social hours and all. And I think that's something that I have found missing here in D.C. since I arrived in 91, when I actually moved here in 91, that politics are much more polarized than what I was accustomed to. I mean, we had in Illinois, you had a conservative like Henry Hyde, for example, but he was always cordial with whoever you were, no matter what your party. Up on Capitol Hill, the Senate dining room in the 90s got so that Republicans didn't visit the tables occupied by Democrats and vice versa. You know, little things like that tell you a lot about the atmosphere. And it's one thing Obama tried to bring with him. From the upper Midwest, I would say, that kind of sensibility. Not that it's worked. Both he and George W. Bush came to Washington saying they were going to change the tone, and they did. It got worse. Right now it's quite fractious. You have fewer moderates and more conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats. You notice the Republicans on Capitol Hill have become the party of nope, just voting against anything that Obama favors. And that's not the healthiest of atmospheres, but it's also a reflection of what's happening in talk radio and cable TV.
Sure.
The present program accepted, I'm happy to say.
Oh, thanks, Clarence. You know, we took a group. We had such a wonderful time. I love Abraham Lincoln and have for years, and we took about 100 listeners to Springfield last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I was so struck because, I'm caught up in the poetry of Obama's whole life in many ways, and the fact that he chose Springfield to announce this candidacy, and his mark is all over Springfield along with Abraham Lincoln's. And I'm really struck, Clarence, by the promise this man has and what we put on him, not only right now, but historically. I'm thinking Abraham Lincoln, Barack Obama, same city, the promise, what's happened in 200 years. It's just something. It's huge.
Well, you just reminded me. I bet Lincoln went to Washington promising to change the tone, too.
Right.
And he got a Civil War.
Right, yeah.
It's a, it's a tough job, but you got to make decisions. I know Obama's drawn a lot of inspiration from Lincoln. The picture I have of my son interviewing him in his office is a picture of Lincoln hanging on the wall right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's Lincoln is a great role model and one who came into office amid great unpopularity and great polarization, and now he's viewed internationally. Michael Beschloss told me that something about how there are more books in English about Lincoln than about Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Which is very interesting. And I mean history books, that is.
Mm.
He is that that kind of a figure, though, who people keep writing more and more books about
right.
this one man's life.
Yeah. Thanks, Beth, for the call. Betty Lou is next from Hudson. Hi, Betty Lou.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have a couple things to say. I guess I've never heard of such trashing of America as I have in this since Obama's coming in. I think he's being treated unfairly. I'm Republican, but my gosh, he has two wars. He's trying to establish peace. We have the health program, and every newspaper, not every, but a lot of newspapers, the comedians are bringing it down to the funny paper level. I mean, let's raise our standards and let's become America. We don't have to worry about the communism or Al-Qaeda. We have a subversive force in the United States now. They're working against Obama.
Clarence.
Well, I agree with you to a large degree. I think a couple of problems. One is the internet's a wonderful thing. It's democratizing. You know, it makes it gives all of us a bigger voice and more access to more good information. But we have access to a lot of bad information too. And it also empowers the wacko fringe, right or left. And it has made it so, you know, for example, these town hall rallies, Tea Party rallies, you know, everybody's entitled to go out and demonstrate and all, but with today's media, we've been kind of waiting. We in the media have been waiting for some kind of an anti-Obama voice. You know, John McCain was really a perfect gentleman by today's political standards. He didn't have a very fractious campaign. This year, though, now we've been seeing people who were kind of out there on the fringe and were rather shocked by the fact that Obama won, and now they've been able to rally other people with talk about socialism and death panels and the birthers and et cetera, so that suddenly they show up in these rallies. They've got these big provocative signs, some of them rather racist and all. And TV eats that up. You know, they just put it on, and we watch it, and we get excited, and we think that there's this big groundswell of Americans. And yet you look at the polls, and the polls haven't changed. It's still about the same level of support or opposition to health care as before the August recess, for example. And so I think that to some degree, that we in the commercial media have somewhat distorted the debate and make it look like there is this tremendous level of anger on both sides that may or may not actually be there.
Thanks so much for the call. I want you to spend a few minutes. I think we're probably roughly the same age, Clarence, and I loved your column about Mary Travers and how
that was a blog item, actually, still on the web.
Oh, is it? She converted you to feminism,
with a
right?
Picture, with a picture of me interviewing
some years
Peter
ago.
Yarrow.
Right.
And this is of Peter, Paul, and Mary for you younger folks out
right.
there.
I know.
But, I interviewed her the night right after the day that Dr. King was assassinated. Mm. Peter, Paul, and Mary came to our campus, and they almost canceled the concert, but they decided to put it on anyway in King's memory. And she was a wonderful woman, and she sat down with us. I mean, she was just so sweet to everybody, because you know this is 1968, and college kids adored Peter, Paul, and Mary, and she just worked that crowd. Anybody who wanted to talk to her or get an autograph, she gave to them. It's a crowd of like 12,000 people or something, it wasn't that big. It was about 3,000 or 4,000. Folks came out to this concert, and she was just until the last autograph was signed, she was there, and she sat down with me and a friend for this interview before the concert. And as I said that night, we went from talking about Dr. King to talking about the women's movement. That was just kind of getting started then. That was what I call the year of the bra burning, but never actually burned any bras. But that's one of the great myths of that era. Anyway, she, being the parent of two writers, a mom and a dad who were both writers, but only her dad really got respect and opportunity. Her mom was denied jobs and assignments at almost every turn because she was a woman. I really identified with that, and as I say, Mary Travers drew that comparison between the women's movement and the movement for racial civil rights, and I'll never forget that. So when she passed, I thought about that, and I wrote about it in my blog, and an old classmate who was one of our photographers on the student paper who was working down the Palm, just retired from the Palm Beach Post. He'd gone back into his pictures at the time and found the old Peter, Paul, and Mary concert that he had shot for our student newspaper. And because we are Facebook friends, he sent me a link to it.
Nice.
And so I don't know what we all did without Facebook.
I know. That's how I found you, too. It was great. Oh, and then you said, yes, you're so nice. Yeah, there's also something about that passing, and I guess that we're of the age where things are going to a younger generation. But when she died, I thought, oh, my gosh, Mary Travers can't die. She died.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hitting us. Now, I felt that way when Jerry Garcia died. I interviewed him back when I was a student journalist too, mm-hmm. in 1967. And you know, was it Pete Townsend from The Who said, "Hope I die before I get old."
Right.
I haven't heard him sing that lately.
You're right.
He's a couple years older than me now.
Yeah. We have time for a couple more phone calls. Jared is next from Black River Falls. Hi, Jared.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I was calling. I just wanted to say, you know, when Barack Obama was running for president, he made a promise that there was going to be more transparency. And when a bill would be passed, you'd be able to go on the website and be able to look at it. And for the life of me, I have not been able to find anything online about this health care bill. And my understanding is that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are blocking it from being able to go online and being able to see the transparency of these bills. And
it's online. It is online. I've been able to get it online.
Yeah, you should be able to go to thomas.gov and see all the bills. There's more than one bill, there's about four or five altogether. Most of them, I think, have passed. Yeah, I think they've all passed out of committee now, need to be voted on the floor, and then they will undoubtedly go to conference because the Republican version, I'm sorry, the House version and the Senate version are different. The House version has a public option, and the Senate looks like it may not. I'm not going to say that won't, because Senators Rockefeller and Schumer are still fighting to get that public option included. But
right.
At least as far as the actual bills, all the bills are available on thomas.gov and should be able to track them down from the point of introduction all the way through their passage.
What's he going to get, Clarence? What kind of bill is he going to get, do you think?
Well, my crystal ball is a little fuzzy here. I've been getting static and all, so can't say what exactly he's going to get. That's what this whole game is all about right now.
Yeah.
It's a the question is, to me, I think to a lot of people, I think the whether or not there's a public option in it is the big yardstick as to whether this will be a really effective bill or not. If he does not have a public option, will it have a strong co-op system, something that offers an alternative to the private sector insurance companies? Because we're talking about choices here for the consumers. Should we have the choice of both the conventional private sector insurance companies and a government-funded program like Medicare? But it would be Medicare for everybody. That's the simplest way to explain it. I think one of the biggest problems that the advocates for some kind of a public insurance program has been language. They have not been as good at selling this. You know, when you say something like a public option, it sounds like some kind of a public restroom or something. Or when you say single payer, people get the notion that, oh, single payer, that's me. They want me to pay for everybody? No, the single payer is the government, but you can't tell that. You know, so I just say, you know, Medicare for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Then you understand exactly what it is. You either like Medicare or you don't. You either like the idea or you don't, but at least you know what it is.
Right, right.
And the big problem with healthcare debate so far has been so many people don't know what it is that's being proposed.
Right. in our choice of words, as you well know, is important. Clarence Page, thank you so much. I really admire all the work that you do. And
well, I admire you, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Clarence. You're offering a nice public option to the public.
Oh, we'll use that phrase, sir.
Thank you. I came up with it. You know,
I like
true.
That one. All right.
A nice public option to the commercial broadcasting, and I think it's great to have choices.
Oh, thank you, Clarence. We'll use that line. Thank you. And for being so accessible as well. Clarence Page, I knew he'd be a great guest. He's just so, he's such a good person, too. We offer a public option. Isn't that a good line, guys? Here's the number to call, 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rob Schroeder is joining me in our studios, who helps produce many of these programs. And we are asking that you join us in our fall membership drive. Make a gift online now. This is your public option. Oh, what a good line. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Kathleen. We have a goal of 25 pledges for this hour. We have about 7 minutes to go in the hour. The success of this fund drive depends on you. Thank you if you have already given. If not, give now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of the pledge, and when you give $120, ask for the WPR stainless steel water bottle. So please pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation with Clarence Page, who's op-ed columnist for Tribune Media Services. This is our weekly All Things Political. It always happens. You can count on us Mondays at 9 to talk about what's been going on in the world of politics. We've had extraordinarily wonderful guests, and we've been doing this for years now. So if you like to wake up in the morning and talk about the top headlines with wonderful analysts, put a value on that programming that you hear every Monday, and please pledge. We need 9 more calls to make our goal, Rob, which, you know, we can do, but you got to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving is really simple to do. It takes just 3 minutes of your time. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay. Remember, credit cards help us save time, money, and paper. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Take those 3 minutes now. Help support this public option. Give securely online at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
As you know, Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You get value from this program and also from a number of other shows from, well, all that you hear. Joy Cardine and Larry Miller, Zorba Pastor on your health car talk, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Says You, and many others you've come to rely on. We give you a window on the world like no other. We are your public option. So, you know how that's stuck in my head ever since he said that. I like the phrase, sorry. But, you know, it's good. Here's the number to call, 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or WPR.org.
You decide the amount of your pledge, and when you give $125 a month, you can receive the I Love WPR package. And that package includes the WPR stainless steel water bottle, a WPR reusable shopping bag, an Eton hand crank radio, and a day sponsorship, 5 on-air mentions of your special occasion on the day of your choosing. That's the I Love WPR package for... So please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Every pledge of any amount is truly appreciated.
We need to hear from 25 people, and we have heard from about 16 people now. So we have 9 more to go before the end of this hour. We ask you to pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552.
It's one source where you can get in-depth reports. You can get information about things you didn't even know you wanted to know about. It's real people talking about real things. They talk about musicians in Iraq, you know, rock and roll in Iraq, or in Pakistan or in India. There's no other source like this. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
That's a nice way to put it. My source for a clear view of the world. I like this one from Lori from Burlington, too. I support WPR because it adds real value to my life, sometimes in the form of humor, sometimes in a thought-provoking way. Sometimes I feel as if I've really learned something from a program, and all the time I'm grateful to have WPR as a choice. Yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful to be here.
Well, as you consider giving this morning, maybe your employer will provide matching funds for donations. You could double or maybe even triple your pledge. If you don't know whether your employer will match your gift, just pledge now and ask your human resources department next time you get the chance. Please pledge your support to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I want to let you know, we're 7 away from our goal of 25 people to pledge. That's our goal for this hour. You might be wondering, how much should I give? It's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs like the one you just heard, programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now.
We've got just a few minutes left in this hour to reach that goal of 25 pledges. Please help us pay for the programs that you depend on. Again, 25 pledges is that goal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, thanks very much. Thanks also for producing this hour. I just really like Clarence
Page. I love
Page.
Him too. I've read him
Isn't
for years
wonderful?
In the Tribune. He is awesome.
Yeah, and was so gracious in saying yes, he would do the program, and I think had a great experience because of our listeners, and it was a good hour. It was good. It was all good. Thanks, Rob Schroeder, for producing this hour. Thanks to all of you who have pledged. We have 6 more people to make our goal of 25 calls. Please call with your support of All Things Political, 888-202-2552. News is coming up here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.